It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. We call this show Fesco and Dusty. It's Friday morning. Enjoy the last day of the week. The last solid weather day of the week. Then we get the actual summer heat of August. But it is also a exciting series opening up this weekend as the Royals will host the Fightin' Philadelphia Phillies.
1980 World Series rematch. You think there's still bad blood?
I don't know, but there's, you know, it's a blank slate these days.
It is.
Yeah. That's two Taylor Swift references in 20
blank
seconds.
Blank slate, baby.
Yep, that's the song.
And I'll ask your name.
Yep. Philadelphia in their last 10 games, 5-5, Royals 7-3.
Like snow on a beach.
Yep. And looking at DraftKings and trying to put something together for some action tonight, Royals are the favorite, minus 135, over under 9. And Philly, since June 18th, you put in there, Bob, 24-29.
Yeah.
Is the fanatic not so fanatic?
It's not so fanatic right now. I was looking at some of the tweets from our sibling station, WIP, in Philadelphia, you know, where it's always doom and gloom, right? And in Philadelphia, everything always sucks. Everything's no good. But that the Phillies got off to a great start, right? They came out of the gate hot. They played great baseball for the first couple of months of the season. And since June 18th, they're 24-29. They're five games below 500. And so you look at a Philadelphia team that a lot of people are saying are the best team in baseball. They're playing below 500 baseball for basically the last two-plus months of the season. They're not playing great baseball right now. And people in Philadelphia, and I saw this morning from our sibling station, they're wondering, have the Phillies lost their magic? And I think this is the perfect time now to see the Philadelphia Phillies. You didn't want to see them in April or May or early June when they were playing great baseball. You want to see the Phillies now when they're five games under 500 over their last 2 months and they're playing baseball that is uninspiring right now and has fans in Philadelphia starting to freak out that the world may be caving in. And, you know, this is an opportunity to go out there and beat a team that is perceived to be a good team by a lot of people nationally, right? And look, right. They are. They took care of business early on and they play 500 the rest of the way. That's a lot of what you want to do, you know, in baseball, come out the gate hot and then maintain the rest of the season. And that's what the Phillies are doing. But by no means is this a world beater. And the fact that the Royals are the favorite tonight, Dusty, tells you, I think, a lot about how the odds makers are starting to feel about the Kansas City Royals. They're starting to recognize, hey, they play at home, which the Royals are almost unbeatable at home, right? They're really, really good at Kauffman Stadium. They're playing a great brand of baseball there. The odds makers are now looking at that and going, yeah, the Royals are probably the better team right now. They're playing better baseball right now. They're playing at home right now. They're the hotter team right now. Like, everything's going right for Kansas City. And so this three-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies, to me, is not a David versus Goliath situation at all. It's the Royals versus the Phillies. And quite frankly, right now at this point in time, the Royals are playing better baseball than Philadelphia. We have to have the expectation to beat the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're at the time of the year now where it's, you know, it's time to shove. You got to go out there and take two out of three at home series, and you got to go 500 on the road, and Philadelphia starts the riptide. Philadelphia, the second-best team in the National League behind the Dodgers. And Philadelphia's got 74 wins, Dodgers 76, no surprise there. But this is one of those things where not only can you have a lot of, and I don't think the Royals necessarily worry about proving it, but you have a lot of prove-it props on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it to your fan base you can beat a good team. Prove to your fan base you can continue to be good at home. Prove it to a National League team that might not know really necessarily who you are, which is tongue-in-cheek because they obviously know who the Royals are, but you can kind of show that this is the division. This is, you know, where the more dominant teams are is in the American League. Royals tend to handle their business pretty well against National League teams. And when you put all that together, you also get to prove it to the nation, because I don't know if you knew this or not, Bob, but the Royals and Phillies are on MLB Network on Saturday.
Yeah, right. Nationally televised game.
Right. And there's a reason, right? They're starting to flex in baseball.
Yeah, right.
This is a big series. Is it bigger for Philadelphia? Is it bigger for Kansas City? I would say both.
It's big for both. It really
is. It's both.
Yeah. It's both.
And I believe that because the Royals, as you said, have nothing to prove or are, you know, have no pressure.
There's no pressure on the Royals.
But they do need to win a series against a good team. And they need to prove that they can do that, because when everybody gets in the playoffs, yes, everybody's record goes to 0-0, but everybody that makes the playoff is a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody there is there for a reason. And not only that, but if the Royals go into this weekend and win 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia, hell, if they sweep, I may not be here Monday. But if they sweep,
they'll be in first place on Monday going into Cleveland for a doubleheader.
1,000%. And that's the other part of it, is that the Royals' schedule right now is almost like a game of 9-ball mm-hmm. or a game of 8-ball, right? You're almost to the point where you have to think about your next shot. You got to take care of business. But if you win tonight, you have to think to yourself, okay, if Walk can take care of business tonight, that means we get Lugo and Ray, or Singer and Lugo to finish the weekend, which means you look at that going, okay, we should be able to take 2 out of 3.
Right.
Whether they both win, that'd be great, but one of those two, we have a good shot. And then you go, okay, well, we won 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia. Now we go into Cleveland. And then it's like, okay, there we go. Doubleheader, 2 games after that. You're playing the Cleveland Guardians, who's top of the division. You have a chance to overtake them, depending on what Minnesota does. They play the Cardinals, not a super challenging series. They're at home as well. But again, this is a time where the Royals can prove it to not only the fan base, they can be competitive against competitive teams. Not only are they serious about this playoff push, but then if they do take 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia this weekend, Major League Baseball has to put the Royals on radar and say, okay, this is a serious threat to the rest of the American League and maybe a threat to the rest of the entire baseball organization.
Well, they're a threat to everybody right now. I mean, you're just looking at the pitching matchups that we have tonight. Taiwan Walker's pitching for Philadelphia, right? His ERA is pushing 5.5. Actually, it's over 5.5 against Waka. I like our matchup in that one. And then the next 2 days, Philadelphia hasn't named a starter, at least according to MLB.com and the Royals website. They got TBD versus Brady Singer. And then on Sunday, they have TBD versus Seth Lugo. So the next 3 nights, you get Waka, you get Singer, and you get Lugo going against Philadelphia, who doesn't have 2 starters named for Saturday and Sunday, and they're throwing at Taiwan Walker tonight, who's got a 5.7 ERA. This is an absolute series that the Royals can go out there and take care of business in and win. There should be no reason not to take 2 out of 3 from Philadelphia. You got to go out there and you got to play your A game of baseball, and the Royals stack up nicely against this team. It's a Philadelphia team right now that's probably thinking to themselves, they can't get out of their own way. They don't know, where they're going to get their next win from. They're not playing the best of baseball right now. The Royals are playing good baseball right now. The Royals have confidence. The Royals have belief in themselves right now. I don't know that Philadelphia does. And when you get the sense from the media outlets, that's what the fans are saying. Their talk radio stations are wondering out loud, has this team lost their magic? And so that's the feeling around that team. That's the feeling around the clubhouse. And again, much like Cleveland, which is why I guarantee you the Royals are going to win the division, Philadelphia can't lead from wire to wire. It's a hard thing to do in baseball, and they're starting to fade. You're catching the Phillies at the absolute right time. Punch them in the goiter.
The goiter. Also, the other thing that's kind of interesting to watch in this series is Bryce Harper, the old face, Bobby Witt Jr. versus him, the new face.
Bryce Harper's one of the coolest guys, though, that I ever met. When he was playing with the Nationals, we went down there and interviewed the guy. Like, that was a superstar at the time, in Major League Baseball. He's talking to Josh and I about life and baseball and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. It's two big stars on the stage of baseball tonight. Is it going to be the young guy, Bobby Witt Jr., that leads his team? Or is Bryce Harper going to show up and take care of business? Because I think both of those guys have an opportunity to sway this series. If Bryce Harper comes out and he goes, 7-for-9 in the next 3 games or whatever, and has a couple of home runs, hey, Philadelphia may win a couple of games. If Bobby Witt just continues to do what Bobby Witt's going to continue to do, then you know what? The Royals are going to win probably 2 out of these 3 games, or maybe they sweep the series. Like, I don't think we should put limitations on it right now. I love the way that the Royals are playing. I love the way that the Philadelphia Phillies are kind of kicking dirt and trying to figure out which way is left and which way is right, which way is up, and which way is down. The Royals got the Phillies at the absolute right time. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And by God, we're playing Philly at the right time.
Right. There's so much that can be determined in this series against Philadelphia. I know it's a National League team. It doesn't matter until you play Cleveland, Minnesota. But again, like, you can't help who other teams play at this moment. You just have to
help. You just got to take care of your business.
And look, I think it's an interesting series because you're throwing out two of your hoses for pitchers. Mm-hmm. You got your veteran tonight in Waka, who knows he's no stranger to Philadelphia, right? Being in San Diego and in St. Louis. So it's interesting. I'm also really interested to see who outperforms who when it comes to Bryce Harper and Bobby Witt Jr., where maybe Bobby Witt Jr. says, hey, that torch, I'll take that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've already taken it from Mike Trout. I'm getting ready to take it from Aaron Judge. Go ahead. You can bring it over here if you'd like. Coming up on the other side, we dive into the Creed Humphrey contract, what it means for two other guys. Plus, we'll get into more Chiefs analysis because Bob was zoned in last night, believe it or not. Even if he might have been vacuuming and making those perfect lines, which is a mundane task we all love deep down in our hearts. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 96.5 The Fan. I'm glad to have you on a Friday. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Thought it was interesting last night. Getting ready to turn on the old Carson Steele broadcast.
Carson the Animal Steele.
I want you to get your credit. And right before, seconds before, you sent us a text as there's rumors to be found that maybe there's a chance that Creed Humphrey and the Kansas City Chiefs have come to an agreement. I sent back a text, Bob, get on this. And then a second later, Adam Schefter's like, no, it's official.
It's official, yeah.
Highest paid center in the entire league and of all time in the NFL. Well-deserved. No, I don't want to hear about the bad snaps of last year. That is the battery made of Patrick Mahomes. That is an offensive lineman, and he's going nowhere, and he's protecting that $500 million arm. That's what you do in this situation. So, of course, when we look at all the, you know, ways that this contract, which is another one of those waves that continues to power through the Chiefs franchise, which is fine. It's going to happen. There's a lot of different lightning bolts to start to strike in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I thought Creed was one of those guys in the originality of the circle of trust, right? Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes. Who else is in that circle of trust? Well, Chris Jones obviously found out this past season or this offseason he was in it, which we all knew. Creed Humphrey found out yesterday that he's in it. What, $70 million guaranteed? Highest paid center of all time in NFL history. Yeah. Probably the best center, not probably is the best center in football now that Jason Kelce has since moved on into retirement. And I think what comes up in my head with the brightest strike of lightning that goes in this weird brain of mine is that brings up a question. Who's now the odd man out? Chris Jones got signed. Harrison Butker got signed. Creed Humphrey got signed. Mm-hmm. And the two names now that are out on the streets, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton.
The odd man out is Kadarius Toney.
Okay. But Trey Smith and Kadarius Bolton.
Kadarius Bolton. Oh, my God. Why are you insulting that man like that?
Trey Smith and Nick Bolton. And in this situation, I had to text a few people last night because they were like, well, what does this mean now moving forward? Do they sign both Trey Smith and Nick Bolton? And my answer was simplistically no. And where I lean, and I think where both of you guys will lean, and you'll both kind of have your own take on this, maybe, or I'm wrong in this situation. To me, the business decision is obvious. And I know that everybody wants to keep both, and everybody loves Nick Bolton because he went to Mizzou and he's playing for the Chiefs. He's a centerpiece. He's the quarterback of the defense. But I can't see a situation, and maybe I'm wrong, and if I am, I'll admit it. I can't see a situation where you're bringing both of these guys back on a contract. And some people would say, well, logically, middle linebackers don't make a ton of money, and you won't have to give Nick Bolton a ton of money to keep him here in Kansas City. But how much money will you have if you do, in fact, sign Trey Smith? And we saw the guy for, I believe it was Denver, got the big contract as a guard. Guy for Detroit gets big money for a guard. A Dallas Cowboys lineman got good money as a guard. And some people say, well, you can find good guards in the NFL. Yeah, but you're not going to find another Trey Smith, who was a steal due to health concerns out of Tennessee. Shout out, Mac. And the thing about this is, to me, the business decision is obvious. You have a $500 million quarterback behind you. You can go find a linebacker that you can find and fit this system with Spags. And I think that Trey Smith gets the money, and I think Nick Bolton doesn't. And I think that there's just a tough decision to make there because health, longevity, protection, and franchise, and all that kind of leans towards Trey Smith's side.
Well, and I don't know that it necessarily has to be a one-for-one type of thing. Like, if Trey Smith gets signed, then Nick Bolton doesn't, or if Nick gets signed, then Trey Smith doesn't get signed. I don't know that one has to do with another, but, you know, to really understand where we are with this team, we got to go back about a year from now. I've got 13 months from now, and talk about what the Chiefs' original game plan was in July and June of 2023, because at that point in time, we didn't know the Chris Jones situation was going to be a holdout the way that it was. Everybody involved believed that they were going to get that thing done. There was going to be a little grunting at the beginning of training camp, but by the time August 1st rolled around, there was going to be a deal done with Chris Jones. That never materialized. And so that had a major trickle-down effect on what this organization wanted to do, because after the Jones contract, you know, was going to get done, I was told by enough people around the organization that there were four guys that they wanted to sign and keep in Kansas City. It was Chris Jones, obviously, they wanted to keep him, but it was L'Jarius Sneed, it was Nick Bolton, it was Trey Smith, and it was Creed Humphrey. Those were the four guys that the Kansas City Chiefs had their sights set on. But because of the Chris Jones situation, it wasn't in their cards to be able to sign any of those guys last year. They would have liked to have signed L'Jarius Sneed, and I think they probably would have gotten a deal done with L'Jarius Sneed had, you know, Chris Jones gotten his deal taken care of, and it wasn't the bleep show that it ended up being, where he was sitting in a suite with two guys in suits that looked like they just bought those suits off the rack at JCPenney. And so what we have now is a complete change of what the Chiefs wanted to do. Okay, we can't sign anybody until we get Chris Jones taken care of. So that's why L'Jarius Sneed never got signed. He would have been signed last year, but you had to bounce and send him to Tennessee because you weren't able to sign L'Jarius Sneed based on the season that he had. So that leaves three guys that are still there that you want to sign: Bolton, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, right? They've already got Creed Humphrey taken care of. I know they're down the road with Trey Smith. They've been having positive conversations with Trey's camp and kind of moving in the right direction. They're not kind of rushing anything. Uh-huh. And then you've got Bolton, who I think would love to come back here. I think we'd like to have Bolton back here. But Bolton has basically said, I'm going to play this year out and see where I go. Dangerous if you want to come back to Kansas City, because you got Drew Tranquil, you got Leo Chenal, you got guys like that at that linebacker spot. And he may outprice himself from the Chiefs if he has a really good season. So I still think that's the goal for this organization, is to sign Bolton and to sign Trey Smith. But if we're ranking them, there's no question Trey Smith is much higher on the depth chart than Nick Bolton is, because you are protecting that investment that is Patrick Mahomes. And I've been reading a lot about NFL teams, and there are teams out there right now, the Giants for one, that are struggling to find continuity on the offensive line. And you're asking Daniel Jones, who stinks, to go out there and play behind an offensive line that hasn't been good since the 90s. And that's hard to do in the NFL. And when you can find continuity on your offensive line like the Chiefs have right now, you don't mess with that. So I would guess Trey Smith ends up getting a contract here in Kansas City. And then I don't think we're going to know anything about Bolton until probably March rolls around and free agency kicks in. And if he's not signed by that point in time, I would imagine Bolton is probably going to find work elsewhere, and the Chiefs will just move on. As much as I love Bolton, as much as they love Bolton, it just becomes a situation where, can we get this kind of production out of somebody who's going to make a lot less money?
Landon Dickerson makes $21 million per year. Chris Lindstrom makes $20.5 million. Both guys are guards. That's why, if you don't know their names, that's their position. So I would assume Trey Smith's going to want somewhere along the lines of $20 to $22 million.
Well, but that's what happens when you're the next, right? Nobody ever takes less money than the last guy got in professional sports. Correct. It's always like, all right, I want to be the highest paid guard. I want to be the highest paid this. I want to be the highest paid that. And if Clark Hunt's willing to shell out the cash and give the, you know, the guaranteed money, and, you know, because when they give you those guaranteed monies and those signing bonuses, that shows up in your bank account the next day. Mm-hmm. Are they willing to part with that cash for Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Nick Bolton and all these guys that they signed? Sure seems like it. If you're part of this core, you will be signed by this organization, and I do believe Trey Smith will get a deal done, because they want to get a deal done with Trey Smith.
It may be near that record setting marker, 21 mil, but there's a chance. You know, you mentioned Quinn Meinerz out of Denver, Dusty, a little bit ago. He just signed that contract. He's 26 years old. He's 18 million a year. He's the fourth highest paid guard. So maybe you get Trey in that 18-19 range. You look at linebackers, though.
But I think Trey, from what I understand, knows he should have been a first-round pick, so they're trying to make up some money for being that sixth-round draft pick and basically playing for free the last couple of years, fair. You know?
No, that's fair. So 21, maybe it's 19, but yeah, 21. If you're looking at Nick Bolton, it is going to be a lot cheaper because, like you said, Roquan Smith, highest paid at $20 million. He's the highest paid linebacker. I don't think he's Roquan Smith. I don't think he's Fred Warner. I don't think he's Tremaine Edmonds. I don't think he's resetting this linebacker market. I think he'll be more near that Matt Milano number at $14 million. So got a $7 million difference, I'd say, per year on these players. So are you willing to pay $7 million extra per year?
Well, that's a question for Clark. I mean, he's got to answer that question. And again, it's not about paying the money. It's about scratching that check for all of that guaranteed money. And that's just the way the league works. I know there's a lot of texts coming in about the salary cap, mythical number. It's a unicorn. It doesn't matter. All that matters is the guaranteed money. That's the only thing that matters. And if these guys get the guaranteed money that they want, they're signing on that contract and on that dotted line. The salary cap is one of the biggest myths in all of sports. You can manipulate it any way you want. Also from the text line, Mahomes is the only person who will ever take less money because he actually wants to win. See Kelsey, Travis. I think Travis has taken a lot less money to stay here. And quite honestly, you never take less money. Okay, no matter what job you're in, you go for the most because you got to look out for yourself right now.
Also from the text line, red bumper, left shoulder, 435 northbound. Ooh. By Truman. Is it Turner Complex?
The Turner Complex? Okay.
Appears to be off of a Mustang, decent condition.
All right, I like that.
So, Mac, keep them both, sign one, the other walks?
I'm keeping Trey Smith as well. Yeah. I think, just from value of position. We saw Nick Bolton out last year for a few games, and we were fine on defense.
Yeah, it's, I didn't like that so much.
I know, I liked it,
obviously, for in the moment, but for somebody who likes Nick Bolton a lot, like, I really like that guy, right? And I like the way that he plays. I'm like, damn, they showed that they can play without him. I don't like that so much. Yeah. I like Nick Bolton around. He's a smart player. He's a good player. He makes you double-digit tackles every single
100%.
Game. Like, he's just a tackling machine. I'd love to have him here long-term, but I'm kind of resigned to the fact that it may just not happen. And that's okay. We move on, right?
Yeah, it's easier to find a guy like a Drew Tranquil who can get those tackles, for a lot cheaper than it is to find a guy like Trey Smith, who's a top five right guard in the league.
Yeah.
Speaking of changing direction, this is that time of the show where we want to talk to you. We want you to engage with us. The number is 913-586-7965. The question is quite simplistic. Any NFL player in their prime,
Brett Favre,
to put on this roster for a three-peat, who are you choosing? 913-586-7965. If you could have any player in their prime in the NFL to add to this Chiefs roster, who would it be? Bob Fesco, we'll start with you.
Randy Moss.
Okay, why?
I just want to see Randy Moss and Patrick Mahomes play together.
Oh my gosh, with Kelsey.
How cool would that be, right? Randy Moss lined up on the outside. Oh, Patrick Mahomes throwing darts all over the field to Randy Moss. Like, how fun was it to watch Brady and Randy Moss play, right?
Yeah.
Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. Patrick Mahomes and Randy Moss. Let's go.
Only time he was with Tom Brady, they went undefeated. Not the only time, but the first time he was with Tom Brady, undefeated season.
Didn't finish it, though, so it doesn't count.
913-586-7965. That's the number. Any player in their prime to add to this Chiefs roster for a three-peat, who are you choosing?
Who are you going with?
Barry Sanders.
Ooh, I like that.
I know Isaiah Pacheco's great. And when you do this sort of thing, you kind of look
at... Yeah, Barry Sanders, though.
Yeah. You look at this roster, like, where's somebody that they could really use and really put towards this team to be successful? You put Barry Sanders in the backfield, you could have a day where it's like when James Shields saluted the bullpen in that one game where it's like, you guys take the night off. Barry Sanders could be that guy two or three weeks in the season where it's like, just give me the ball and let me do things. 913-586-7965. This is where you talk to us. Any player in their prime in the NFL to add to this Chiefs roster for a three-peat. We go to Brandon in Kansas City. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I'm going offense also. I got to go Megatron. Give me a tall guy, goes up and gets Mahomes, lobs in the deep field. Easy touchdown.
Yeah, I like that thought as well, man.
Thanks for the phone call, Brandon.
Yep.
We go out to RJ and Olathe. RJ, who are you adding to this Chiefs roster in their NFL prime for a three-peat?
I think Adrian Peterson would be the perfect mix for this offense. Mm. Adrian Peterson is prime. Take the pressure off Patrick Mahomes, and then we'd have a dynamic backfielder. Adrian Peterson would be awesome in this offense.
That's not a bad call either. That's not a bad call either. I kind of like that one.
You know, Mac, you're up on the clock, so who are you choosing to add to this three-peat roster for a Chiefs piece of an NFL player in their prime?
I think I'm going to be the first guy who goes defense here. I'm going to go J.J. Watt. Prime defensive player of the year, J.J. Watt, adding 16 sacks a game right next to Chris Jones. I mean, best offense, best defense in the league. That's scary.
Okay. A lot of people coming in with defense as well. Deion Sanders is coming in a lot. I see Lawrence Taylor coming in a lot as well.
Almost
on the text
line.
I mean, Lawrence is the greatest defensive player I've ever seen play the game. Willie Rofe coming in a lot. That's a great left tackle for this organization to have and was a phenomenal left tackle. Ed McCaffrey flying in as well. That's a pretty odd one. You know, it's a good one. I don't mind the Ed McCaffrey one. That's a great possession receiver, you know, over the middle, somebody that you can rely on when you need a big play. Ed McCaffrey was always there. That's a really good one. Jerry Rice coming in, Marcus Allen, Derek Thomas coming in a few times as well. I just want to punch the guy who was rude to you yesterday from Bubby. Way to go, Bubby. Love you. Let's see who else is out there. Ray
Somebody
Lewis.
Said, this one's kind of interesting. Aaron Donald and Chris Jones together.
Oh, my
together
God.
In their
that would be really good, too.
You would never get 5 yards.
Oh, my God. That would be good.
Oh, we lost Cody.
Well, Cody hung up because that was his, Aaron Donald.
Oh, yes. Aaron Donald was yours. Yep. Okay.
Otto Graham, Bo Jackson, Derek Thomas. Give me Big Lou. Mm. That guy can get his
Lou
life insurance
good.
Even though we take meds too.
Yeah. Would he bring Sanders. All his wives?
Yeah, my roommate said Deion Sanders last night. He's like, if you wouldn't throw the ball. Trent McDuffie and Deion Sanders' corners. Mm, yeah. Like Justin Reed, Brian Cook out there. And then you got Chris Jones who can get 4 or 5 seconds because he knows his corners can get it. Deion Sanders is probably my runner-up. Barry Sanders to me was just like the obvious answer. Just be nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Rice, Champ Bailey, another great
one. Another good one, yeah. OJ coming in a few times.
Okay. Ray Lewis coming in. 913-586-7965. It's your time to be a radio star. You tell us who you'd add to this Chiefs roster on a route to a three-peat. Any NFL player in their prime.
And here's a good one, too. Prime Jamal Charles. Like, I go back and I look at Jamal Charles, and I feel like, I don't want to say we got screwed out of Jamal Charles, but man, if he was born like 3 years later, what would he have been like really, truly? I know he played for Andy for a hot minute,
But
in this era of football, playing in that Andy Reid offense with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith and, you know, Travis Kelce and everything that we got going on right now, imagine if Jamal Charles was just born a couple of years later, what his dynamic ability would have been in this offense.
We went to Wichita and go to Greg. Greg, who you add to this roster in their NFL prime?
I would really like to see the former Houston Oilers, Earl Campbell.
That's a good one. I like it, man. That's a big bruiser going up the middle, destroying people like Carson the Animal Steele last night.
We go out to Kansas. We talk to Howie Long. Go ahead, Howie. You're on the phone.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody say Walter Payton?
Nobody said Walter Payton until Howie from Kansas is you, man.
There it is. Walter Payton's a good one. Sweetness, baby.
Somebody on the text line, LaDainian Tomlinson, Julio Jones, Jonathan Ogden,
Alex Smith,
Reggie White.
Right.
Is that pre or post voicemail? If you know, you know. Mac, do you get that reference?
Do not.
I don't get that one either.
Remember he said God called him and said,
oh,
he needs
that's
to
right. Yeah, that's right.
Left him a voicemail.
Yeah, left him a voicemail. Oh, Green Bay. Okay. Yeah,
technology.
Yeah, right. Did we have voicemail back then?
Oh, yeah. We've had voicemail for a long
Actually,
time.
Actually, answering machines. Yeah. It's probably like an answering because it was 92. Yeah.
That's how pagers worked.
Were pagers around in 92?
Yes. Cell phones were around in 92. Remember Zach Morris had
car phones, right?
Very slim,
Saved
though.
By the Bell, yeah. Man. It came out like 30-plus years ago.
35
like
years
that.
Ago?
Yeah.
There's cell phone
Zach
out
Morris
back then?
Had a cell
yeah,
phone.
But like they very, very few and far between.
Somebody says, hate to say it, but what about Super Bowl Terrell Davis? As long as he doesn't have a migraine.
Mm-hmm.
And is he adding the Vaseline to the jersey? If you remember, you remember. Mac, do you remember that story? You weren't alive. So. Denver supposedly had Vaseline on their jerseys before a Chiefs game so that they would slide off their jerseys.
Oh, everybody put the WD-40 on their jerseys back
True
in the
story.
Day as offensive linemen.
Yeah. True story.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying, man.
816 says Dan Kilgore. Give me prime Al Bundy, 4 touchdowns a game.
Somebody with the last name Watson.
Watson, yes!
Jerome Bettis, the bus. I know I spelled first name wrong, but you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
Marshall Faulk, to see what Andy would do with him. Again, the question
that would
is,
be a good one too. Yeah.
To revisit the question, if you could add anybody in their prime in the NFL, anybody to this Chiefs roster for a three-peat, who you adding?
Jalen Watson, somebody sends in.
Watson, yes!
Nurse Jen here. I'm going with Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Cody Tapp for the locker room and comic relief. You're trying to win a three-peat.
Yeah.
Reggie White with Chris Jones. Troy Polamalu. Ed Reed's a good one, too.
Ed Reed's a nice one. Yeah, I really like him. He got old-looking, though, fast, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was still dominant until the day he hung it up.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what Spags would do with Ed Reed and his defense?
I bet you Ed Reed decided he wanted to play today, he could probably step out on the field and play today.
Maybe for a quarter. Priest Holmes, injury-free. Steve Bono, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt. Manti Te'o's girlfriend, come on.
Yeah, come on now. Somebody said there's no wrong answers with this one. No, there's a few. Yeah.
Dan Marino, just so he can get a ring.
Not interested in getting him a ring.
Be crazy just to, like, start the game off with Dan and then be like, all right, Pat, you're in. Who's more dominant to close a game in that period, Wade Davis or Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
That's a great discussion.
That is, yeah.
Final call, we go to Jordan. Jordan, take us home, baby.
How about Megatron? I don't know if anybody said him, but if you could put him in this offense, let him high point a Mahomes ball, that would be magical.
All right, let me ask you this. You have Megatron or Randy Moss. You can only have one. Who you taking?
I feel like you got to go Randy, but Megatron's just so different.
I don't know that there's a wrong answer there. I mean, that's personal preference. Like, if you love Megatron, go Megatron. I just think it would be so freaking cool to see Randy Moss and Patrick Mahomes out there doing their thing together.
Would you rather look like Megatron or DK Metcalf with your shirt off?
Well, I kind of look like both anyway, so it's splitting the atom here.
Okay, fair enough.
DK.
Yeah, I think DK.
Yeah, DK.
Yeah.
Yeah, Megatron had that nice little chest hair, though. I don't know why I'm into that, but either way. Somebody says Mike Allstott. Well, you have that in Carson, the real deal animal steel.
That's right.
Coming up on the other side, we talked about a show that turned 35 years old, plus there's a new game that I'm kind of geeking out about because it was one that actually stole my heart for a couple years. I'm not going to lie. I was in my parents' basement playing this game probably for 4 hours a day in the summer when I was about 9 years old. Chiefs wrapped up preseason. Royals getting ready to start their Riptide, as Vern talks about it on the show that you can hear every night before Royals game that we call Vern's pregame show, and he also talks about it on his postgame show. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Pure nostalgia coming up here at the end of this 7 o'clock hour on a Friday here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, our executive producer. I almost said defensive coordinator.
I was going to say defending champion. I didn't know where you were going with that one, right?
He could be a defensive coordinator. He keeps us coordinated with the show, at least.
Somebody asked Binkley last night on the text line, how many 13 personnel plays do you think we'll see this season? I don't know what that means.
Tight end sets.
Yep.
We're here to help, Bob.
I guess.
You got two nerds in the studio with you. They want to know how many Blake Bell, Travis Kelce, Wiley sets we're going to see.
Led the league in 12 personnel last year.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
I guess me.
Not Bob. If you want to get to know Mac, just send in a text. I'm kidding. But if you do, 913-586-7965.
Do people notice that like when they're watching games? Like, to me, that seemingly takes the fun out of the game. That sounds like work.
Well, it's they don't do it while they're watching the game. It's when you go back.
I don't rewatch games ever.
You ever rewatched the Super Bowl?
Nope.
Stop it.
No, I have not.
They just had the game. Yeah, you have.
No, I have not. I find rewatching games like drier than dry paint. That's terrible. I hate rewatching games. I know the outcome. I've seen it. I'm on to the next.
I really want to believe you, but I
refuse. No, I asked my wife, have her call it. I don't rewatch games.
Okay.
No. I mean, if I have to tape it because my kids got soccer or something, I mean, if you want to call that rewatching, fine, but.
All right.
Not interested. I don't go break down the film. I'm not a coach.
I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of cool to watch the Super Bowl over again. I watched them win the first Super Bowl like three different times.
Did you?
Yeah. Man,
I'll watch a highlight package, but.
It's kind of rewatching.
It's on. I'm not seeking it out. I saw the game. I got my memories. Let's go.
I officially feel old. I just
I'm going to grab my books and I give myself a look. I've got the corner just in time to see the bus fly by.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the bell. If the teacher pops a test, I know I'm in a mess.
Get my dog ate all my homework last night. This Huey Lewis sounds like it, yeah. Do you know he's the reason why we say Home of the Chiefs at the anthem?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. He started when Joe Montana was here. They had him sing the national anthem. At the end, he screamed Home of the Chiefs, and it's taken off ever since. Hmm. Thank you, Huey Lewis.
35 years ago, that song that you heard came to your television this week. 35 years ago, Saved by the Bell debuted. This week.
That seems a long time ago.
Man, I turned 37 last week. It's hit me with things that are starting to revamp where, like, people are like, oh, yeah, that show, I was 7. And then other people are like, oh, I was born 10 years ago. Like,
or I was 0. Mm. Mac, how old were you 35 years ago?
-9? Yeah, I believe so. 26 this weekend, so yeah.
Yeah, you were still a few tequila shots away from being exactly. consumed.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you guys know how you were consumed? Conceived, I mean.
I don't want to know how I was consumed, dude.
I don't
know how
I was consumed, bro.
I don't want to know, dude.
I don't know that at all.
Want to know that question. Yeah. I will Matt Ariza that question and punt God that thing all the way back to you, Bob. Like, there is no way in hell I want to call my dad and have that conversation. Hey, Dad, break it down for me. Give me the all 22 on the consumption of Dusty Likens. I am good on that.
Yeah.
No, I was a mistake.
Were you?
Yeah.
I think my sister was.
My dad only wanted one kid, supposedly. That's the story. But he's probably shaking his head right now. No, you weren't. But according to my mother, God rest her soul, which she could be a firecracker.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure she would always tell me, she's like, you know, your dad only wanted one kid. And I don't know if this was just like propaganda and like political views from her side, but you asked my dad that question today, he'd be like, oh, dude, you? Yeah, yes, for sure.
Right.
But no, I kid. I don't know. I assume.
You assume you were an accident?
I don't know.
No.
I mean, I'm 3 years separate from my sister. That seems like a good plan.
I'm 5. My sister's 5 years younger than me, right? Like, I thought for the longest time that was the right way to do it. Then we had kids 12 months, 20 days apart. And I'm like, okay, that's a little bit different, you know, than the 5 years. But, you know, after having the kids 12 months, 20 days apart, I wouldn't want a 5-year gap because then you're back to diapers, you're back to formula, you're back to all of that kind of nonsense. And nobody wants to get back into that. Once you escape that era, And really, you escape the era of not having to put them in the car anymore. Mm. Once the car seats are gone and they can put themselves in the car, game changer. And I think everybody as a dad's going, hell yeah, that's a big time game changer. When they can put themselves in the car, huge type of moment. So I didn't want to go back to that. I'm glad we had the kids the way that we did. But
do you think Saved by the Bell was a trailblazer of a show? Like, do you think it kind of brought like teen pop schooly shows to like television?
I mean, what would you say it was the jumping off point for? Like, what would you say came after Saved by the Bell? Because I was 12 when Saved by the Bell came out.
I would say Boy Meets World. It opened up a show for like that.
Okay. I mean, it was a definite pioneer because it was different at the time. Everybody loved it. Everybody watched it. And everybody loved Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah, she was, and which is crazy because if and this is what's weird about the two shows we just mentioned, you were either Kelly Kapowski or you were Topanga.
Yeah, exactly. See, Topanga, you know, is a good comparison to Kelly Kapowski. I thought you were going to say Jesse Spano there for a second, right? And then when she was in Showgirls, everybody kind of fell in love with her. Tiffany Amber
that
Thiessen is still Tiffany Amber Thiessen is still just gorgeous, right? Like she's one of the first heartthrobs. I think for my era growing up, it was like Winnie Cooper. It was Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Kelly Kapowski, and then it was kind of Topanga at the end. Topanga came in a little bit after I was kind of, you know, past that kind of state. So I think it kind of came in that order for me. And then there was Full House, you know, with DJ Tanner as well, who I know was another heartthrob, at least for me. I know for a lot of people in my generation, she was kind of that first crush as well. But I think we all watched Saved by the Bell and thought, that's kind of cool. I wish my high school was kind of like that. Like, you wanted to be Zach Morris. He kind of had it figured out in high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dating Kelly Kapowski.
Ooh, but Kelly Kapowski. Woo.
Yeah.
You just looked her up.
Wow. Looked her up. Okay. Oh, you had no idea who that was until just now. Huh? I like that. Yeah.
We really need to get you to watch the movie Son-in-Law.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when she comes into the bar with that Travis Tritt song singing T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
She's a knockout, man. She is really good. 816, Alyssa Milano on Who's the Boss. That's a really good one, too. That was kind of, yeah, you're right. She came before Winnie Cooper and then kind of progressed from there. And what? I kind of age out by Topanga. You know, once that era gets done, I'm kind of out.
I was really into Maude.
Oh, I was. I mean, there's no question. Bea Arthur's not my number one.
Experience.
Bea Arthur.
I love that we're getting the mistakes text from the 816. My oldest is 24, youngest is 9. I'm 43. Ooh. You tell me which is oops. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's tough there, dude.
How many are in between?
I don't think
any. Okay? You went from 24 to 9, oh, my God, I feel so bad for you. I really feel bad. It's like my dad's youngest brother. My dad turned 75 this week, and I think the story goes something to the effect of my dad went to tell his parents that he was getting married to my mom, and they said, "We're pregnant." And he goes, "What?" And thank God it happened, though, because my Uncle Scott's the youngest. He's about 7 or 8 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. My dad's two middle brothers have passed away. My grandmother got ALS, and my youngest uncle, my dad's youngest brother, was there to take care of her for all those years. So, things happen for a reason. Yeah, but absolutely. At the time, I'm getting married, and you're doing what? You're having another child?
From the 816. Cool. From the 816, 15, 14, 7 for me, slight frown.
Yeah. But 15, Price. 14, and then you went to 7. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a 16-year gap between my little sister and my oldest brother. Yeah.
Wow, that's a huge gap.
That's a huge one. Yeah.
I was telling you about this text yesterday. I found it on a subreddit, but it's this one's from Nurse Jen. Have you seen the Zach Morris's trash YouTube videos about Saved by the Bell? If not, look it up. That's what I was telling you. Like, there's a thing that's like, Zach Morris is a blank person. Like, he's just like a
denier. In real life?
In the show.
Oh. But I, you know how it is these days, right? Everyone wants to dig up dirt. I didn't know if it was something that he did in real life that people were mad about.
Things he did in the show where it's like, oh, he's the cool guy, but he was still like a scumbag, like trying to get Slater's lady and like trying to be like a narcissistic.
I can understand that, but like it's very much like Seinfeld. In the moment, you don't realize that, but at the end, when you look back, you go, "Oh my God, those were four jerks!" And then you realize, yeah, Zach Morris was not cool.
7 kids in 11 years for my parents from the 816.
That's motoring. That's a motorboat right there,
that might
man.
Be one of the toughest moms in a decade. Yeah, right there.
Two more from that guy. He's got the 24, 17, 12, and 9.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
a little bit of a gap. Somebody says I was a kid when Harry Potter came out, so Hermione was my first big crush. Lingoni Limioso.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah, you can feel that. Okay. Melissa Joan Hart from Clarissa Explains It All. That's one of like the best theme songs ever to a show. There's no words. It's just na 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 na. And her brother's name was Ferguson, I think.
From the 785, pick the oops. One son turns 18 in September. Another turns 2 in October.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
That's tough.
Holy cow, I'm about to be 44 and I have a 19 and 12-year-old sister. Oh man.
Hell yeah. That's a divorce right there.
Ooh, that's gotta be a blended family. Yeah, you need more information on that one.
Somebody got divorced right there, man. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patent MIQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We'll get into the Royals on the other side because it's a big riptide coming up. Not only that, remember when. We'll do a remember when we get back. This is Fesco, Dusty, Mac. This is 96.5, your fan. We're fans of 96.5, the fan. Your home.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Over Kansas City Sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.